Let's go to Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. If you don't mind, stand with me for reading a couple verses here. Very familiar verses. But we're going to look at them a little bit different, perhaps, than traditionally we do. 11 and 1, the book, the chapter of these heroes of faith, it says, now. Everyone say that first word with me. Now. Now. Right now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This lets us know faith is a substance of things that are hoped for the future, but not seen as present. By it, by this now faith, the elders obtained a good report. Amen. I want to preach from this title, The Faith Sandwich. The Faith Sandwich. Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings and your mercies. I'm thankful, Lord, for your word. It will endure forever. And if we put it in our hearts, we also shall endure forever in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We all know what a sandwich is. Some of you will leave today. Many times my wife says, let's go get a sandwich, and we'll go. Now, most of y'all probably know, I'm sure you do, there's no ham in a hamburger, right? Y'all figured that out? There's no ham in a hamburger? And you know where it came from, right? See, that's an old one where everybody kind of knows Hamburg, Germany was where they first made the hamburger, so therefore they called it a hamburger, but really there's no ham in it. It was just in Hamburg. So, pretty cool. So, that's easy. Now this one, where does the word sandwich come from? You know? That's right, the Earl of Sandwich. Yep. It says, the origin of the word sandwich for an item of food originated from a story about John Matiga, the fourth Earl of Sandwich, that was gambling and did not want to leave his table, so he asked a nearby person to put a piece of meat between two pieces of bread. Others observed the meal and shortly began to order sandwiches. So there you have. See how much you learned by coming to church? Now you know what a sandwich is. Amen. I can dismiss and go home. You've learned something. And so now we refer sometimes to a sandwich as a feeling. I feel like a sandwich, right? I feel like I'm being squashed. I feel like I'm between two things. So I have a faith sandwich that I brought with me today. Yeah, I got it right here. I was trying to hide it from my wife, and so it was late, and she got ready to go to bed. She said, I'm going to bed, and she saw this here, and she said, oh, what you do? I said, I'm going to talk about it. But I got me a faith sandwich here, and it's like communion. I'll do it first, and y'all can eat the rest of it, okay? I'll take the first bite, and y'all can have the rest. A faith sandwich. Now. Then. I just want to preach on adult level so y'all could understand this morning. Then. Now. Then. Here. And there. And many people are now. And they want this now. But between these two slices of bread is faith. It don't matter how you slice it. It's still got to be faith. Okay? So what we want is what's going to happen then, now. Right? We want our here to be there. But the only way you can have now is you have to put faith between now and then. Or here and there. Because without that, you just have two pieces of bread. And you have no substance. It's cute, isn't it? Faith is the substance of then and now, of there and then. So this is the substance of the sandwich. You make me a sandwich. You say, what kind do you want? And you talk about the substance of the sandwich. You want a bologna sandwich, you want a ham sandwich, you want a turkey sandwich. And you name it by the substance. Faith is no different. The faith sandwich is not based upon what's happening now or where you're going. It's based upon the substance. It's based upon the substance of things not seen, but things hoped for. And now I like to see, you can't see it. You can't see it. You just see the bread, the here and the now and the then and the there. But in between there is something you can't see. Now, I like when I eat a hamburger, I like to see it coming out. You know, when they show them pictures, you know, on advertisement, they show it all hanging out. But when you go to eat, it's not, you can't find it, you know. But this is the way faith is. And in between, there is sandwiched between these two things is the here and the now and the there and the then is faith. Amen. Faith is always sandwiched between these two things. You cannot have now what God wants you to have then if you do not go through the process of faith. You must have faith. It is the real substance of this sandwich and what God is trying to bring you into. Real Christians walk by faith and not by sight. For a man shall not live on bread alone, whoopee alone, but they're going to live by every word of the Lord. This is what sustains you is faith. This will not sustain you. But faith is sandwiched between these two. If you say, make me a bologna sandwich, I don't put bologna in here, say, where's the meat? What happened? The same thing the Lord does with us. He said he makes us promises now for our future, but in between there is faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. I'm not pleased with a turkey sandwich without turkey. Don't give me call it a chicken salad sandwich. There's no chicken salad in it. It's just two pieces of bread. My. The faith sandwich. Faith is the wilderness that the Egyptians, that when Israel came out of Egypt, that was their now. And then he showed them their then and where they would go. But in between now and then was the walk and the journey of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's what they hoped for. But they could not see it. But they could obtain it if they would walk in faith. It is yours. But it requires faith to get there. My God, faith is the substance of the in-between. I said it's the substance of the in-between. It's the substance of, I don't know what God's doing in my life. I don't know which direction I'm going. This is where faith sustains you till you get to where God is bringing you, till you get to the place where he tells you this, and yes, he promised you that in the future, but, you know, I don't see it. I never saw myself coming here. I'll be honest with you. I never saw myself coming here. But I knew the Lord had called me to do a work. So I just held on to my faith. Amen. Until I got here. And I went from there to here. Amen. But I only did it because I was sustained by faith. Are you with me? David said, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. And we have to have this substance of faith so that when we don't see it, we still believe for it. We have to have this substance of faith when the report is bad until it returns good. Amen. We have to have this substance called faith when it's times of trouble start until troubles end. It's faith that sustains you. Faith. Did you know faith is an attitude? It's an attitude. It really is an attitude. It's your attitude towards something. I don't believe in that. You see, that then your attitude shows that. Oh, some way, somehow, God's going to work this out. That shows. You see, your attitude towards something really displays your faith in something. Amen. The attitude of faith is given life when you gladly obey the word of the Lord. Abraham, the Lord told Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. When he called him out, he called him in his now. He called him in the land of Ur. He said his father was already moving, and he had moved. I read the story last night, and he moved until they got to the land of Ur, and there he died, speaking of his father. And there's Abraham there. Okay, well, Lord, which I don't know what to do. I guess I'll take over daddy's cattle and daddy's this. And daddy. And the Lord said, hey, time for you to go. Now, faith. It's time for you to get out of here and leave your kindred, leave everything behind, and look for what I have promised you. And Abraham's name became great, not because the Lord published it across the nation. It became great because he continued in faith, looking for what God had promised him. And he's called now the father of faith. But he was willing to leave everything. And I'm talking about a faith sandwich. He was sandwiched in between. Do I leave or do I go? Do I stay? What you will find yourself stuck between these two decisions. What do and you have to act in faith. Abraham could have stayed conformed to the world that was around him and been just like his daddy, an idolater, because that's what his father was. And says, look, I'm content to dwell here. But when the Lord spoke to him, the Bible says he arose early the next morning and took his journey. The journey of what? The journey of faith. Because he was looking for a land where he didn't even know where he was going. He didn't say, I'm going to take you from Ur and I'm going to bring... He just said, look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham rose up early and he ate him a faith sandwich and he swallowed it all. Let me tell you something. Something's not part of you till you swallow it. He told Ezekiel one place, he said, eat the whole thing. Sometimes we just want to nibble on what we want. We treat church like it's buffet style. Oh, Brother Baggett, preach that. That's good. I like that. But that other part about that, forgiving you, you got to eat the whole thing. And then when you eat it, it becomes part of you. Abraham had a brief period of backsliding. Yes, he did. He may not staggered in faith, but he backslid. He looked into Hagar. He went into Hagar, and out of Hagar, he thought, well, maybe the Lord will have this will be. He said, I told you out of Sarah's womb. I didn't tell you out of anybody else's womb that the promised child would come. But he backslid because he didn't get what he wanted when he wanted it. And that's the reason people backslide. Is they don't get what they want out of church, God, or whatever, when they want it. And so they say, just like the Egyptians, well, it would have been better off for me to just stay back there in Egypt. I was fine back there. You brought us out here in this wilderness of faith. You keep telling me, oh, it's going to get better. Whenever I talk to any of you, I say, it's going to get better. And if you die, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. That's just the way I am. I believe everything gets better. And God's doing something in your life many times, and I don't want to pray you out of what God's doing. Sometimes God is bringing you through the wilderness of faith, but we backslide when God doesn't give us what we want and when we wanted it. And so they said, better off we had stayed back there. Sometimes people say, I didn't have any trouble until I got in the church. I was better off when I was back there in the world. I didn't have these problems. But let me tell you, there is a sandwich you've got to eat. And in between the now and the then, the here and the there, is the wilderness of faith that you must take it and swallow it. Mm-mm-mm. God is always with us, even in our in-between times. I've had a lot of in-between times. Whew. Brother, you had some in-between times? I had a lot. And the only thing that stained me in between was faith. That's it. Because I had lost trust in men. I'd lost trust in ministry. I'd lost trust in everything. But I got just like David was. He said, in thee and thee only do I trust. I had lost faith in the system. I'd lost faith in all of this. And I just had to turn to God and hold on to my faith. I'm like he would have to tell me, like he did Peter, I pray that your faith fail not. Amen. In other words, stay on the journey. Now let me show you how faith works. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. You see, without that in-between thing, it's impossible to please him. I know people that are impossible to please. Pleasing God is easy. Do you understand? Pleasing God is easy. Believe me, for the very work's sake. Just trust me. without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is he a rewarder of them that diligently, that's that faith route, seek him. By faith, Noah, we're just going to use one of these guys here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world. See, that goes back to what I was telling you about in the church. He condemned the world by what he did in his world. Saving his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. So when we look at Noah for just a minute, Noah saved himself and his family through his faith. Amen. The Lord told him it was going to rain and it was going to flood the earth and everything would be destroyed. And it had never rained like that. Some say it had never rained. And so it's like, how big do you want me to be? I mean, this thing, in Search for Truth, they show these railroad cars. And it shows how many railroad cars would fit inside of the ark. And I don't remember the number, but it's staggering. He's got to build this thing out of a gopher wood and pitch it within and pitch it without. You know, this is faith in action. Faith without works is dead. He could say, well, Lord, I'm going to wait till I see a little rain, you know, before he'd have drowned with them. But he moved in that faith mode between now and then. You've got to operate in faith. So maybe you don't see the signs of what you're looking for, but I'm here to tell everybody, keep operating in faith. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep walking. Keep looking for the future. You may not see it now, but it's coming. You've got to believe that it is. Because when you quit believing, you quit walking. Because the just walk by faith. And so the rain comes. And what I like about this and this whole story is that he, after 120 years, he spoke to Noah and said, yet 7 days. Whew, gives me chills that the Lord would come back and tell you, you got 7 days to get in. And the Lord was just waiting for him to finish. That's what the book says. The long patience, the long suffering of God in the days of Noah, while he was patiently waiting for the preparing of the ark. So he was just waiting. Finally, Noah says, last nail, y'all. Bunk, bunk. And then a voice said, yet 7 days. So you get it all ready because we're going. It's fixing to rain. The Bible says that he won't let anything happen without telling his prophets and ministers. So I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming. We need to prepare like it's yet 7 days. Amen. And it says, watch in Genesis 7 and 12, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days. It rained upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the self same day, let's call that now, in the self same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and, now watch this. Don't miss this. In the same day, they all got in. At the same time, they entered. Here's who entered. Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. I think that's 8 people. They, and not only them, they and every beast after his kind and all the cattle after their kind and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind and every fowl of his kind, every bird of every sort. So this is what got on and entered into the ark under the act of now. They moved now. If you don't move now, you'll be drowned later. Move now. And they all moved into the ark. And the floods and the waters came for 40 days and 40 nights. And this is the time that Noah rested in the works of faith. This is the time that Noah will rest in what he worked on. See, we look at faith as, oh, I've got to get my guy. Faith is what you rest in. You show me a nervous, worrying person, I will show you someone who has no faith. Because faith gives you rest. Faith gives you rest. And so Noah is resting in faith. And while it may have rained 40 days and 40 nights, and the fountains of the deep came up, and the boat floated and went to and settled on Mount Ararat, can I tell you, when you do the math, it tells you how many days this and how many days that. It was 1 year to the day when he got out. And so what was ever blooming when he got in was blooming when he got out. See, that's what faith does. It brings you from here to there so you don't miss anything really in between. Say, well, I'm missing, boy, if I wasn't in the church. No, you're not missing nothing. You're not missing anything but trouble and heartache. Now that's amazing how that everything moved and entered in into the ark. That's the now. But perhaps the most amazing thing is what came out of the ark after 1 year. In chapter 8, in verse 18, and Noah went forth and his son. Here's what came out. And Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his son's wife with him. And every beast and every creeping thing and every fowl and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth and after their kind went forth out of the ark. What I'm trying to tell you is faith keeps you. Faith sustains you. So that everything that went in faith came out in faith. And if you'll just go approach a situation in faith, you will come out just like you went in. We look at faith again like it's something you got to muster up. Faith is so easy. I remember an old song says, the Lord it'll work out somehow. Somehow. I don't know how, but somehow it'll work out. Faith is the life preserver of your future. Faith keeps you alive. Noah rode out the ark for 1 year and then got out and built an altar unto the Lord. And sometimes we want the ride. We won't avoid the faith ride. We just want what God promised now. We want it now. What God promised then, we want now. Christmas is coming up, and I raised two kids, and I was a kid once. If you told me we have Christmas today, where's my present? I want them now. I'm sure y'all been to Six Flags, right? People go there to take the ride. I'm going to confess, I don't go to Six Flags. I never liked Six Flags. I went a few times, but those rides, I didn't want to tell anybody, they made me sick. But I went on a few of them. But there was a time as I got older, I didn't have to show off anymore. I could be me. And there's been times with my wife, we went with our two kids. They may not remember this, but we'd get in line and we would wait and wait for that 3 second ride, no, 30 second maybe, and wait hours. And as you get closer and closer, and right when you get up close to getting in, the guy comes on the loudspeaker. May I have your attention? This is all the people getting in. Okay? Now they're getting in. And he says, please have your seat, sit all the way down, pull the bar all the way back, take all your belongings and hold them close. Do not put your arms outside of the cart. No standing up, no camera photography. No, and he's going telling you all these things that you can't do. You must be so high to even get to that point. And then they all take off. And I look when they come back to see if they're all still there. And when they come back, I look and some of them are crying. Some of them are puking. Some of them are soaking wet. Some of them are laughing. Some of them have their eyes closed, and I'm going, which one of them will be me? And so I thought, I don't want to take the ride because I don't know which one of those is going to be me. I might be behind the guy puking. And so when we got up there, they would open the thing for you to get in. But what I saw, Brother Manuel, was it wasn't but 3 steps, and you was on the other side. I saw where you go out. Where you go in is the same place you go out. So when they opened the gate up, I said, come on, kids. We're not taking this ride. Waited all that time. I didn't want to take that ride. Can I tell you, we do that as Christians.
We don't take the ride. We don't take the journey. The Bible says that Jacob was running from Esau, and he come to a place I call there. He come to that place. So tired and so weary, he laid his head down on a pile of rocks and went to sleep. Yeah. And when he woke up, he said, this is none other than the house of the Lord. It's a dreadful place. I mean, look how wicked this man was. So it's a dreadful place. It's none other than the house of God and the gates of heaven. And the Bible says, and Jacob took his journey. A journey of faith. Because he said, Lord, if you'll bring me back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God. Hallelujah. The greatest thing as you stand this morning that you can have in your house is peace. You can have money in your house and no peace, you don't have a house. You can't buy enough to get peace, brother. Not enough goods you can buy to get peace. Jacob had the birthright, the double blessing. He's going to be a wealthy man just by inheritance. But he had no peace, no joy. And not only in himself, but in his home. Running from his brother, deceived his father. No peace in his home. This morning, as you bow your head and close your eyes, I want to ask you this question. How is your home? How is your home? Is your home a place where the Lord says, could I come in and visit with you? Will my name be mentioned in vain, or will it be mentioned in the right way? Jesus told his disciples, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, because whatever the peace the world gives you, it can take away. I'm just telling somebody right now that you got to walk by faith. You don't understand this situation. You don't understand how it's going to turn out. But let me just tell you, the just are going to walk by faith. Amen. The just are not going to have to see the end to stay in the fight. The just don't have to see the reward to keep walking. The just don't have to say, well, Lord, are you still there, to keep walking? Because the just walk by faith. Amen. Man, I don't know what God has in store for some of you in your future and in your when you get there. But right now, we all see through a glass darkly. Right now, we all don't know exactly where we're headed in life. I don't know where I'll be 5 years from now. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know these things, but this I do know. I'm going to keep walking in faith. Amen. Glory to God. And when you walk in faith, it brings peace. If it's appropriate, bring somebody down here with you, that maybe grab them by the hand. I want daddies and mamas and husbands and wives and kin folks to come gather together, because you need peace. You need peace in your home and in your life. Trusting, confide. Hallelujah. Let me say this. We'll sing a little bit more, but let me say this of what faith is. Faith is a union. It's a union. You married her. You know how you married her? In good faith. You know how you married him? In good faith. And when faith is broken, it's got to be restored. It's got to be restored. Or you'll never be together. I'm not picking on y'all. I'm just using my example. I can't live with that woman right there if I can't fully trust her. I'm not going to do it. That's the bond right there. We're together. We're together. Through my ups and my downs, through what you've gone through and through what he goes through. I will support him, he'll support you, because we're together. That's what faith is. It's a reciprocal thing. Knowing that God will never let you down. Don't let him down. And we shouldn't let, and if you want peace in your home, Now let me tell you something. The Lord spoke to Noah. He didn't speak to Noah's wife. He didn't speak to his sons or their wives. He spoke to Noah. But they had enough faith in Noah. I don't know if they helped him, but I guarantee you they did. Help me build this ark. It's going to rain. I'm telling you, God told me, okay, Dad, okay, what you want me to do? Because I got faith in you. And sometimes you need faith in people that have faith in God when your faith is shaken. And they got on based on his faith, and they got off based on his faith. And that's why it's so important to have faith in your home, faith in each other, trust in each other, because there is now rest in the home. And they had to live together for a whole year. Don't you think on that boat they said, Daddy, I'm sure I'm glad I listened to you. I lost everything. The journey of faith, I preach you a faith sandwich now and then, but in between is the substance. In between is the substance of just keep walking in faith. Let's sing this one more time.
Well, I care not today what the
Lord. Lord, we come before you this morning. We're thankful for your presence. I felt it from the very moment we walked in here, and I feel it now. God, I ask that all the people that heard the sermon, both of them this morning, but those that heard this last part will understand faith like never before. It is the substance of keeping able to walk. Without that substance, the journey ends. The just shall walk by this substance. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given unto us that measure of faith. Help us to have faith in one another as we have in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you Tuesday night. And if I don't get to see you, happy Thanksgiving.